This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You really want me to start when you're playing the wrong song? I mean, come on.
I just jumped ahead an hour. So excited for the show to be over.
Are we done at two?
No. No, we're done at three.
No. I don't want to be done at two. I don't want to be done at two. Let's talk a little mail here, okay? Seemingly everybody has an opinion on the mail. And shockingly, my opinion is right. Outside of you need medicine, you need to stop getting the mail every day. I mean, come on. It's 98% junk mail. Over or under. I just didn't get the mail for like 5 days. Some Christmas cards and a couple bills and then 500,000 pieces of junk mail. That's what we really need. Donald Trump, I would like you to end junk mail. We got junk fees. Let's get rid of junk mail. Would we suffer? I mean, is there something? Listen, I'm looking it up right now. The Postal Service this year is going to lose. Take a shot. I don't know if you know this. Take a shot. How much do you think the Postal Service, USPS, is expected to lose this year?
Over 1 year, let's say $2
billion. Try $10
billion. That's pretty good.
$10 billion. So I'm sorry, I really don't think the junk mail is helping out a lot.
It's helping a little. Maybe it would be $20 billion without the junk mail industry. Big junk mail coming to the rescue.
Screw you, big junk mail. How often do you look at big junk mail, Dave Harrigan, and think, hey, this is great. This piece of junk mail is really going to help me out. How many times a year does that happen, approximately?
You know what? I'm willing to accept the amount of junk mail if it keeps my and other mail carriers and mail postal service workers employed. Okay, Chad? I am not for...
How much money should we lose? How about if we're losing $50 billion? Should we keep employing people then? $100 billion?
Well,
I'm not... I don't want anybody to lose their job.
It sounds like you
But
do.
If something's losing $10 billion, I don't think it's working.
Perhaps some investments are worth it, Chad.
Okay.
Big
the everyday mail is not one of them.
Hey, I've gotten a lot of Christmas cards over the last couple weeks because I'm very popular. And
two?
I've loved every single one of them.
Three?
No, at least a dozen.
Well, you're in the Christmas card sweet spot. And the kids are young.
Still cute.
They're still cute. They're only occasionally mouthy towards you. And every time they are, every time you tell me a story, I agree with them. They're right. And you're wrong. You know, when all of a sudden your boys are 29, 28, and 23, you're not in the sweet spot anymore.
Why not?
Where do you?
They could still be cute.
Where do you stay? Oh, they're handsome. They're of course they are. Where do you stand on the, before we get back to the Postal Service, the Christmas letter? The letter, the full two-page recap of what Fred and Ethel, let's skew for Adam Carter there, Fred and Ethel, what Fred and Ethel did the previous year.
2 pages, way too long. I'll give you half a page. Like two paragraphs, I might read.
Two paragraphs.
If I'm interested in your family, if I like you, if you're somebody that's I only really know on the periphery, no.
Shred instantly. Wait a sec. Is that big copy machine?
That's Shredder.
How
big
about
Shredder.
The fact I had this dental procedure, which you know was rather interesting, and it's the day Major's in town.
Yeah, you really
big
that
copy
poorly.
Machine is in town, and I didn't get a chance to see him.
Yeah, I heard he stopped by, and you just didn't even realize he was there. You were so deep in the dental work.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They wouldn't let him back.
A lot of that. I would not. Now, is it possible he's done with us now because I gave him the Heisman?
I'd say it's likely.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll move to Tapper.
Yeah, we'll go Tapper. That's fine. Let's just send him that because the few times I joke about that, he doesn't like that joke. Oh, again, it's the Tapper joke. That's what he normally says. Two paragraph, yes or no, 651-461-9226. I have a number of mail-related questions here. Is two paragraphs, and they can be dense paragraphs, okay? They can be 4 or 5 sentence paragraphs, so not that dense. Okay?
That's fair. That's fine.
10 sentence recap of your year. That's it. Everything else, you're bragging.
And if you've got kids, the older the kids get, the shorter the letter should be.
Yes, exactly. Sarah is now drinking. She has an STD and she's pregnant.
Yeah, but it's one of the good ones, so we're not so worried.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, when they're like your kids and they're adorable and they're young and teeth are coming in and musical performances and swearing at dad, that's when it's fun. 10 sentences max.
I had to get on about their language the other day.
What can we say which word they used?
A similar word to the big F word. One that is used in place of, but still not something that I think the teachers would like to hear in the classroom.
No.
The older one used it. I can't say for sure who she's heard it from, but I know it wasn't me, and I have a good idea who it was.
Are you kidding me?
I don't use it. I don't use it. That's not one I use. It's just not in my lexicon.
That's not one?
Does
it start with an S?
No, it starts with an F, but you use it in place of the big F. But she used it at dinner.
If you're scoring at home, try to figure out the big F and then the medium size F.
Yes. So she used it during dinner. And I say, whoa, let's not say that. Let's not do that. And it couldn't have been more than a minute later, the little one then uses it. Molly, what did I just tell your sister?
Yeah, not good. Okay. So we're losing $10 billion, and then we still have issues. This is kind of like Angie Craig's sweet spot, it seems like. Angie Craig says, this is still the single biggest topic that people randomly walk up and talk to me about. The mail? Is life that good? Now, again, if you are looking at medicine, separate category, okay? But if it's not medicine, 4 days, let's go. You with me? 4 days is plenty.
No.
Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There we go. Boom. Tuesday, Thursday, you're dead to me. We don't need 6 days of mail. We don't have enough people, as an audit found out. Hundreds of job vacancies, tens of thousands of pieces of delayed mail, and all sorts of issues. This is tied to Bemidji, Apple Valley, Eagan, New Brighton. So the other thing that's looming, now that everybody's going down to kiss Donald's ring, including Jeff Bezos yesterday, during this Trump term, I'm calling it Trump term two, I'm not calling it his last term, because I think there's a 55% chance, as of right now, he runs again. What do you think about that? Carter and Cook scoffed at me when I said January 7th he's going to run again. They scoffed. I think there's a more likely chance than not that he runs for a third term.
I think what do you that's think? Lunacy.
Sounds like Adam and Dan years ago, and then they've apologized.
Years ago, it was still constitutional for him to run again.
He doesn't care.
There's
about
that pesky little issue. I know Donald doesn't care for the Constitution much, but there are some others that do, and that might say, hey, I think it's time to step in.
Not MAGA. They will, pending what happens, most second terms don't go that well. They'll still love him. 4 days a week, and then here's what's going to happen. Jeff Bezos and Amazon are going to be running huge parts of our mail before the Trump term is done. What do you think of that?
I think that's not out of the realm of imagination at all.
Would it bug you?
Are they going to keep all my postal employees employed?
No.
Well, then it would bug me.
No. Oh, like your Mr. Postal employee.
Friend. You know me. Okay. Me and USPS, very tight.
Okay.
I buy stamps just because I want to. I give them away as gifts.
You just give them away?
Yes.
Thank you. I know. I meant to get to the vest conversation. I was saving the vest topic for KOC for the end, but he was so genuine and excellent in his answers and voluminous. We already were like 3 or 4 minutes longer than they had offered up because they told us he had a meeting. So I didn't think that's when I could go to the vest conversation.
That would have been good. Kevin, you're late. What's going on? I had to talk about vests with some clown on the radio.
Exactly. Some guy. I don't even know why Jeff made me do this interview, but I did. Are you with me on these topics? Because apparently everybody wants to talk about the mail. Are you not getting your mail on time? Because the story points out again, large swaths of the state not getting their mail on time. Why do you care if it's not medicine? And again, I'm going to say this again before I get a text. How cruel are you? No. Your medicine should always be there if you're getting it through the mail. But outside of your medicine, you don't need the mail 6 days a week. Come on. We're losing $10 billion. Something has to change. And so Amazon, we can't quite get to the Trump topic yet, can we? We'll get to it, but I'm just on record saying as of today, there's a better chance than not he's going to run. Are you not getting your mail? Do you think Amazon is going to be running the mail in large way before Trump is done? And do you really think we need the mail 6 days a week? What do you want to say? Phone call would be excellent. Go at me. Disagree with me. Love me. Tell me all these ideas are brilliant. Criticize. Text or phone call. StylesFinancial.com. Talk and or text lines. 651-461-9226 on WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the texts coming in on the mail topic, the problem with five-day mail is the Monday volume for carriers. No, not five-day, four-day. Five's too much. Business is losing $10 billion. No signs of slowing down. Somebody's very mad at me because they have a home business. Lots of folks have home businesses. Sometimes we need to make adjustments. Sometimes things are better for us, but not as efficient for the greater good. And now somebody says, Dave, why does it have to make money, right? Why shouldn't it just be a given that within the government, even if we lose $10 billion, it's such an essential part of life? Do you buy that?
I think so. There's a lot of things that the government invests in that they don't get a return in, but there are services that people rely on. Why isn't this one of them?
Nobody says the military loses $700 billion per year. The USPS isn't a profit center, kind of along the same lines. Another text. Good afternoon. I live in Buffalo. Our mail service is great. The mail carriers people at the post office are pleasant, helpful, and hardworking. I do not need to receive daily mail, though. However, the change to several days a week would affect jobs. I would not support it. Chad, mail 3 days a week, no Saturday. Let them use Saturday for catch-up work. Even better. Chad, I'm totally fine with getting mail in 3 days a week. I'm in no hurry to get junk mail or the crap I buy off Amazon. That is correct. Chad, consider people, especially in rural Minnesota, that depend upon the postal service to receive prescription medicine as well as newspapers. So this will be the fifth time I've said this. Medications, yes. By the way, people get medications in metro area also. That is the one fly in the ointment, and that's where Amazon can play a bigger role. Let's see. A 55% chance he tries to run again. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not guaranteeing he's going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump and Musk will suggest to privatize the mail service. Amazon has given a lot of money to Trump lately. Well, they gave, didn't they give the million for the inauguration? But like he put out the, what did he put out? He put out the tweet. The tweeter was on True Social. Everyone wants to be my friend. It's the truth, Dave. Compared to when he left, all the folks who didn't care for him, or at least he thinks don't care for him, are all going back to kiss the ring right now.
They're all a bunch of
it's
Rushes.
Good. That was funny. Chad, Christmas letters can only be bullet points. That's a good way to do it. Would you like that?
Yeah, that's okay.
10 bullet points. That's it.
I don't need context. I don't need the backstory.
No, just quick bullet points. Amy Klobuchar, the senior senator from the state of Minnesota, is next after traffic and weather on CCO. Let's jump right in. Always pleased to be joined by the senior senator from the state of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar. Amy, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate the time. We have a lot of issues to get to. And I know
oh,
you're relatively.
Chad. Anyway, happy holidays, first off.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. What will you and the family be doing on Christmas?
Well, we're, of course, getting together and with our daughter, which is always a lot of fun to do. And I'm kind of excited to try to take 4 days. But here's the deal, Chad. We may still be in Washington.
Yeah.
Get an agreement, because we can't have a government shutdown and then all the TSA workers that are going to be helping people get through to visit their relatives at Christmas. And so we've got to come to some agreement here. So that's my first.
So let's talk about that. There is a bipartisan agreement worked out for months. Republicans, Democrats, it is voluminous. It's over 1,500 pages, which does trouble me. But as you said, we need to keep the government running. People need to stay employed for these essential positions for the rest of us to enjoy what we want to enjoy. Elon Musk, who I've started calling the prime minister of the country, starts tweeting about this, saying that anybody who signs off on this bill should no longer be in Congress 2 years from now. Later, the president-elect gets on board, and now it's dead in the water. What are the chances this is going to get resolved? And what pause do you have on the power that Elon Musk has right now, who received as many electoral votes as I did?
You know, it concerns me mostly. If we were just out there and we said, hey, we have this bill that Democrats want, why won't you support it? This was negotiated with the Republicans and Republican leadership, with Speaker Johnson, with Mitch McConnell, with the whole group of Republican leaders. That didn't mean that every single person was going to vote for it, but it was an agreement. And it was also about our farmers, because they have been so hard hit by what's going on in small towns. And it's also about some of the disaster relief with the hurricanes. And it was everything in there was some kind of bipartisan thing. It wasn't just some crazy thing on either end. It was a bipartisan agreement. And so that's what really concerns me about this, because we do have to keep the government going. That isn't to say we won't have big policy discussions next year about what to do about the debt, what to do about tax reform that's coming up. And in my position, keeping middle class tax cuts and even expanding some of those, but making sure that the money isn't going to everyone that's on the high end, wealthiest of the spectrum of wages here, and that we make this fair for everyone, and that we fix some of these health care problems and things like that. So I'm actually, you know, most bipartisan bills of anyone in the last Congress, work across the aisle all the time, just done a bill with Ted Cruz that's included in this package of things, chairing Donald Trump's inauguration. You got her on as a guest. That's me working with his team, because I'm the outgoing rules chair. So I'm all, you know, you couldn't be more bipartisan. However, it really does bother me when one person that wasn't elected can start having his views, which he is more than welcome to have, and then everyone just folds. And I don't think that's what you should do. I think you should listen to him, and you should. He's going to have some great ideas next year, I'm sure, for efficiency of government. I am very open to listening to him and figuring out how to make things work better. But it's really concerning when we're facing a deadline and we would have TSA lines and the like for when people are trying to go and visit their grandma. It doesn't really make sense to do this right now.
So let's talk about this, what you worked on, because it's very important with Ted Cruz, right? And again, you are very bipartisan. The data backs this up. This is something heinous that continues to happen in our country. It is indefensible. Yeah, now, it's called the Take It Down Act, which criminalizes non-consensual publication of explicit images and requires websites to remove them upon notice. I am 100% for this. This is awful how individuals' lives have been ruined. My concern is there are so many aspects of the internet that how do I know we're going to be able to police this and stop something which absolutely should be criminal?
So we have to start somewhere, and there's got to be just the horror of the fentanyl being sold on Snapchat. We've had a number of Minnesotans die, kids that think they're getting a Percocet and it's laced with fentanyl. And we got to start somewhere. And of course, I've also led bills on that. But this is such an outrageous example of the platforms have to be responsible. So you have kids and adults that their images, and sometimes they're real images of kids, girlfriend, boyfriends, they break up. One of them posts, like, most likely a girl, naked image of the girl, and her life is ruined. It starts rotting. some of them now are AI created. We had one, a Minnesotan,
yes,
who came forward from Otsego, Mali, and told her story. Just someone who knew her family took 80 women that he knew, she knows some of them, their faces, and then made AI-created bodies on them. He was never with them at all, and then put them out on the internet. And these, their people are, especially in schools, kids passing these images around. And so we've had, this is FBI statistic from the FBI director last year, in just 1 year, over 20 minors, kids, committed suicide because of this. Because they're so young, they're, you know, 16, 17, and suddenly their naked image is all going through their high school. They don't want their parents to know. We had a Republican state legislator from South Carolina whose kid committed suicide. Like, this is actually happening. And so, but the bill that Ted Cruz and I did, and we have worked together despite on a number of things, and I think part of this is our willingness to take on some of these companies. We said it's a crime, a full crime, 3 years kids, 2 years adults. It's a clear crime, and that's going to help. When it's a federal crime, it just helps the state prosecutors. And then the second thing is that the platforms have to take it down when they're notified within 48 hours. You're right. They won't all do it right away. We'll have to be on them. We'll have to have hearings. You violated the law. But it at least sets a federal standard that we're not going to tolerate this.
Three last topics, and we'll let Amy Klobuchar go. We appreciate Amy's time with us here on CCO. You are now the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee for next year. Mm-hmm. This is something you've wanted to do for a long time. For Minnesotans who care about this, what are a couple changes that you would like to push and try to implement now with this elevated position on the Ag Committee?
Sure. So number one is the Farm Bill, which includes safety net for our farmers. Minnesota is one of the top farming states. We have a lot of small farmers still. We've lost some of them, but it's a really important part of Minnesota, and it's also important for our economy. We're number one for sugar beets. We're number one for turkeys. We're number two for hogs, you name it. But what I would like to see is we're starting to see an increasing number of animal diseases. You've heard about the avian flu and mm-hmm. losing turkeys, losing chickens. The governor of California just declared an emergency there because it's translated into cattle. I think we have to do more to prepare for this. I just met with the Trump nominee for the Ag Department, Brooke Rollins. This was one of the major topics of our discussion. There is actually some things we could do with vaccines and other things. So pretty soon, it's going to start hurting us economically, and it's also going to hurt our ability to export, which is so important to Minnesota farmers. So there's a number of these animal diseases, and I think we need to get ahead of them. Senator Cornyn and I already passed a bill that actually helped us with the last round of avian flu and made us better prepared for it. So I want to build on that. I also think that we can do more on the front of dairy, make sure that people understand milk is milk, and keep our dairy industry strong in Minnesota. We've got a lot of small dairy farms that are still struggling. I think that there is a number of things that we can do on the conservation front. We work with Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, those groups, and Minnesota is a big user of those conservation programs, which helps with our hunting and fishing as well. So I'm actually, and then ag research, as we look at the climate change and some of the things going on, and I've been very pragmatic about things like seeds and other things. We need to be really smart when it comes to ag research, and that involves University of Minnesota. It can help with diseases. So I'm actually really excited to take on this role. I work really well with Senator Bozeman. He came out to Minnesota from Arkansas and visited with me this last year. Some of our precision agriculture, where we're using really cool equipment to be able to conserve resources with water and pesticides and the like. So there's a lot of good things going on with ag right now.
I'll get to one last question because I know your time is short. The Wall Street Journal came out today with a lengthy story about someone you respect immensely. And I know you view him as a friend and an ally, and you view that Joe Biden passed a number of bills that have made this country better and will make this country better. But it backs up what a lot of us have thought, that sadly, and this could happen to any of us, we both have had fathers who lived a long time and eventually left us, and we see deterioration. But it talks in great length with great sourcing about how the president struggled and didn't meet with cabinet members and just was atypical of most presidents. And I know this wasn't easy for any Democrat who wanted Joe Biden to win. But in hindsight, as much as you respect him, do you think you should have come out sooner and said, Mr. President, you've served our country well. You said you were going to be a transition president. It is better for all of us if you say one term before he did, when the polls just bottom out after the debate. Do you think that's something that you would look back and say, I should have jumped in a little bit sooner?
Well, first of all, I ran against Joe Biden, as you know, Chad. So I actually, you know, let's go on way back then, and not far that back. I wanted to be president, and so I actually thought I could have done a good job, and I was willing to stand up and run against him. And then he got our country, in my mind, through this pandemic. It wasn't easy. He made friends. He made enemies. It wasn't easy. And then he decided to run again. And I had not had, and I've been very clear with this, I was with him on Air Force One, I had not had an experience where I saw those kinds of issues. I haven't read this article, but of course I've heard these reports. I saw the debate.
Do you believe him now, though?
Well.
I believe you that you didn't see, but do you believe all the reporting?
Yeah, I didn't. I would like to read the story and see what it says, but what I do know is he's not the president anymore, Chad. Okay, he did step aside, and of course, in retrospect, when you look at it, you wish that he had stepped aside earlier, because then our candidate, or there would have been a primary, whatever would have happened, and we might have had a better chance of winning. But it's all, to me, behind us. And what's in front of us right now is that we have a new president, a former president. My view is that you find common ground where you can and you stand your ground where you must. We take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I just met with Sean Duffy, who is the nominee for transportation. We had a very good meeting. At this point, I plan on supporting him. I met with the UN ambassador nominee, Elise Stefanik. I've got a job to do. And I think last time I supported half of his nominees in the first round for the cabinet. And I'm going to look at each one of them on a case-by-case basis. And I'm going to work on housing, because I think we have a shortage in Minnesota, for all over our state, especially in rural. I'm going to work on child care. I've told them all this. I'm going to try to find ways we can get things done. And I am just not going to look in the rearview mirror. I think President Biden accomplished some good things. I have not agreed with him on everything. I've been very clear. I did not agree with the pardon of his son. And I did not agree with some of these recent pardons, including what happened with that drug dealer with the last place on earth up Duluth, and that guy got pardoned, which I don't agree with, and a number of other ones. So I'm not going to agree with Biden on everything. It just hadn't been my experience, which I will admit was limited in the last year with him. But I'm just moving forward right now.
I appreciate the time. Let's do it more often. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Senator Amy Klobuchar. You can react any time we have a guest on, whether it was Kevin O'Connell, Rochelle Olson, or Amy Klobuchar. Coming up, Jason DeRosa and Bill Guerin. You know how to track us down. 651-461-9226. Just Carl Towns back. We'll try to get to that at some point. But I did tweet out, I'll just say this real briefly, then I want to get back to Amy. Carl Towns was the number one pick. Because of that, he had a high, high standard, and at times I praised him, at times I criticized him. But you know what? He was a great teammate. At this point, he's clear-cut the second-best player in Wolves history. He was beloved by people, played with him. He didn't want to leave. He embraced himself, the community. He should get a lengthy standing ovation tonight. We covered a lot with Amy Klobuchar. We covered so much. We were 5 minutes late. I probably got us in trouble. Lot of good info. I will just say I would encourage all of you to read the Wall Street Journal story about Joe Biden. I don't take any joy in the fact that we have been talking about this on this show for what? 2.5 years? 2.75 years? Where it was clear something had changed. And by the way, it may have been even further clear if the 2020 race was more of a conventional race and they weren't following the protocols of COVID. Because it's 50 people sourced. It backs up what we all see, his limited appearances. Where is he now? I mean, Donald Trump, I said, what did I say last week? Donald Trump might as well be the president of the United States. Donald Trump and Elon Musk are shaping this country immensely more than Joe Biden is. And is it that Joe physically isn't capable? Because we know often he isn't physically capable. Is he pouting, Dave, because he's still mad at the Democrats who pushed him out when he was delusional that he still was going to win? But he's vanished. And how many times, if you listen to our show, and if you do, thank you so much, what I talk about, where's Joe Biden? Why is he confused? And yes, there are policy positions, if you are a Democrat, you can cite. And it's true. If you're MAGA, you're Republican, you certainly are entitled to not agree with them. But it's this crazy thing about visibility and answering questions and the presence of a president that sort of matters. And it's non-existent, and it's been a cover-up. That's what it's been. I have no idea how many times Amy Klobuchar was with Joe Biden. I'll take her at face value. Dean Phillips on this show showed courage and spoke out. Political courage, okay? Not other types of courage, but he told the truth. And the Democrats, they still might have lost. I mean, if you lose the swing states 7-0, you shouldn't be convinced you would have won. But if more individuals in July, late July of 22nd, like Dean Phillips did on this show, would have started speaking out, would have went to the president repeatedly and said, Joe, it's been a phenomenal run. You've accomplished a lot. Step aside. Let's have a nomination. Because fair or not to Harris, jumping in that late and then epoxied to this administration, and then the fact that, I'm sorry, I just thought she was a mediocre candidate and that she couldn't separate herself in any way from Biden, they weren't going to win. Do the normal process, get somebody who's a Democrat but separates from the campaign? Maybe. No guarantee, but an absolutely better chance. And not enough people would tell the truth when we all could see it. Next hour, Jason DeRosa. He occasionally bumps into the truth. And at the bottom of the hour, President of Hockey Operations for the Wild, Billy Guerin.